Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. Today we're going to be covering the parable of the 10 virgins that's found in Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read select verses and you can read the whole parable yourself. Starting at verse 1, the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and went to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then Jesus says, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." Those are select passages from the parable of the 10 virgins. Because we've largely ignored the gospel's account of the last days and gone instead to books about books and theories, we've come up with a fairly universal end-time scenario now that we're comfortable with. In this theory, everyone is pretty confident that they understand the last days, and even most people in the world are confident that they know roughly what's going to happen. Non-Christians have all seen or read things, and everyone is looking for the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, the cashless society, and the temple being taken over by the Jews. And the reason this can be dangerous is because it puts us into a false security and a sleepiness that is addressed exactly in this parable. It gives us a comfort zone that we are going to recognize the last days. There's practically no one anywhere that is concerned that they won't recognize the signs of the times. So there's practically no one in the church or out of the church that is living with any type of concern that they might be caught off guard. Everyone is confident in their heart of hearts that they will see the signs and they'll get ready quickly at the end. And that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here, the idea that we can get ready in a hurry right at the end. Jesus gives us a much different picture of the last days. He says the virgins fell asleep, then suddenly the bridegroom arrived and they weren't prepared. He's making a strong statement that he will come when most people don't expect him, and that many, very many, will be caught off guard. This is, in fact, the main thing Jesus says concerning his own return in many places in the Gospels. Yet, it is a warning that almost no one takes seriously because they are so confident that they will see some very obvious signs. We think others might be caught off guard, but not us. We have all watched the Left Behind series. We know what's going to take place. Now, how this relates to us is very sobering. First, make no mistake about it. The virgins represent the church of Jesus, not the world at large. They represent those who are preparing themselves to be married to the bridegroom and are confident that they are the chosen bride. They are caught off guard by the sudden appearance of the bridegroom and as a result are barred from the wedding. These are things we don't often think about, aren't they? So let's examine what this sleep is that they have fallen into. This is a critical element of the parable. Well, it's not taking a nap on a comfortable pillow top mattress, that's for sure. Jesus would never bar someone from the kingdom of God because they were tired and fell asleep. No, the sleep referred to here is a much more dangerous sleep. It is falling asleep in the world. It's falling asleep in the world so that we are not prepared when the bridegroom arrives. And what does this mean? It means that we become so distracted by this present world that we neglect to get prepared for the next. This is exactly what Jesus warns us of when he says that the days of his coming will be exactly like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. They were buying, selling, eating, drinking, building, having big weddings right up till the end when they were all swept away. Jesus warns us that the last days will be characterized by a great worldliness, a great preoccupation with this present life. And we see that this is exactly the testing that has come upon the church today. We see a great emphasis placed on worldly success, on having all the things of the world, and having the esteem of the world. In fact, now, in many circles, you are only considered truly a Christian if you're neck deep in worldly affairs and thought highly of by the world. This is one of the main fruits of our new modern gospel, what we call the gospel of self. This gospel of self instructs us to seek the best for ourselves right now on earth. So it causes us to store up our treasure on earth instead of heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It teaches us to build our kingdom on earth. And so the body of Christ is now largely consumed with seeking all the things of this present world. It is caught up in all the pastimes, the pursuits, and the distractions of this present age. We are enamored with the latest gadgets. We're up on all the latest movies. We are consumed with our sports. We're desperate to become wealthy so people will look up to us. So all our involvement in the world and the things of the world have caused us to fall dead asleep to the urgency of this day. We've lost our concern that the bridegroom may appear suddenly. In fact, we're not concerned at all because we know certain signs will come and then we'll make sure we're ready. Well, let me give you a sobering thought. All those who were confidently looking for the coming of the Messiah knew exactly what to look for. But Jesus came in a way that none of them were expecting. And that's why Jesus was rejected by them. He didn't come the way they expected. And yet God had fulfilled every single prophecy concerning the first coming of Messiah Jesus. And you can be sure it will be just the same now at Jesus' second coming. We will find that somehow every prophecy was fulfilled, and yet he can come at a time when we least expect it and are completely caught off guard. These words are sharp and clear to us right now, and we are thinking sober thoughts as we listen to this message. But some might think these words are too sharp, too uncomfortable. Well, let me underscore my point by saying, if these words are too sharp, simply watch the game all afternoon, watch a movie tonight, and by tomorrow, the pain will be gone. You won't even remember you heard this message. But for those who are hearing and want to be of the virgins who are awake and prepared and welcomed into the wedding, I say this. How much is your soul worth? Is it worth enough to make sacrifices to preserve it? Is your soul, is your eternity valuable enough to you that you're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that you are in that blessed company? Then do this. Follow us in a commitment that we made as a family a number of years ago. The number one killer of Christians in the world is not terrorists, it's not extremists, it's not cancer, and it's not heart disease. No, the number one killer of Christians and the thing that has rendered the soldiers of Christ into ineffective couch potatoes is this: our media and our entertainment. Do you want to know where the body of Christ is when the bridegroom is trying to prepare a bride without spot and wrinkle? Sitting in front of their TVs and computers, having their brains filled with all manner of trivia, violence, and blasphemy. Where are the soldiers of the cross when the captain calls for them? They're in fantasy land, playing video games and watching their sports heroes pass a football or a hockey puck from one end to another. Why is the Church of Christ of no effect in the world? It's because we, the church, are in the world. We're not in the world, we're of the world. We're enamored of the world. We're excited by the things of the world. And because of that, we will be caught off guard when he comes. I used to be in great dread at one time. I was in dread that one night when I and my kids were engrossed in some movie, that Jesus would split the skies and find me caught up in foolish pastimes instead of preparing myself to meet him. I was in dread because I knew I'd have no answer for him as to why I neglected helping those who were perishing all around me. So one day, as a family, we did something very radical. It proved to be the single most effective way to prepare for the coming of Jesus. It was a life-changing thing we did. And what did we do? We turned off the media. We stopped watching the latest and greatest movies. We stopped playing video games. We turned off our worldly music. And then we started filling up that time with seeking the Lord. We began to read missionary biographies together as a family. We sang together and read the word together. And our lives have never been the same. We stopped pumping corruption into our hearts and we started eating that which is good. And that commitment we made those years ago has resulted in this present ministry. We stopped polluting our souls with all the garbage that was coming into our heads through our media. And we started to eat the bread of heaven and to drink living water, and our lives were radically and wonderfully transformed. and we began to experience a joy that we never knew existed. We began to experience the presence of God in a way that we hadn't for a long time. It's because we were seeking the living one instead of being distracted by all the things of the world. And that commitment has resulted in this present ministry, where we now travel from coast to coast in two countries and minister in many places. It's all the result of making this one radical stand for Christ. Now, we started off kind of easy. And I say this because this probably scares you, because you think it's impossible for you to do this. And I just have to tell you that we are just regular, ordinary people. We were neck deep in all the media, just like everybody else. But we did it, and you can do it. We started off easy, as I said, because it was such a drastic change for us. So we decided to start with a year-long commitment to put aside worldly media. We did it like that because it was something that we could possibly conceive of. You know, just turning off the media altogether was impossible to us, the very thought of it. So we left it open-ended so that at the end of the year, if anything worthwhile came out as a movie, we could watch whatever seemed good to us, and then we could sign up again. And that's what we did. We took a couple weeks, we watched whatever we thought was good. It ended up not being as good as we had hoped. Then we signed up on this commitment again and enjoyed drinking living water for another year. Now, after a few years, the disparity between the beauty of God and the filthiness of the world was so apparent that we never went back to watching worldly media. We didn't even bother taking our time off at the end of the year. It's because we were drinking the crystal fountains of living water, and it made the polluted well of the world become so disgusting to us. It was so distasteful. So now, just a few years later, what we were once submerged in that we thought we could never get away from has become entirely revolting to us and a meaningless, useless passing of time, and the things of God have become exceedingly desirable to us. And that is what will happen to you as you step out and take this commitment yourself. And so I put that challenge to you right now. We call it the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment. And you can find it on our website. And it's at the back of the Narrow Gate book, which you'll find on our website. It's available as a download too. So you can just download that. We drew up a form so that you can sign it and post it on your wall to remind yourself, because by times you might struggle, especially in the first month. But this type of sacrifice is very pleasing to God. The fact that you're willing to put away something you like in order to give God first priority is loving God indeed. And so as you do this, you will be changed from being a Christian in name to a Christian indeed, who puts away the things of the world in order to be separated unto Christ. You will go from a worldling who professes love for Christ to becoming a lover of Christ, so that the things of God become the most precious treasure to you, so that spending time with Jesus himself starts to become the thing you look forward to the most. This is the bride without spot or wrinkle. Not that we don't fall, not that we don't stumble in many ways, but our heart has been changed to love and desire after the things of God. So I want you, and I want to urge you, to take this challenge. And if a year seems too daunting, I want you to start with a month, something that you can wrap your head around, but you'll find it's actually the first month that's the hardest. After the first month, it starts to become a delight. So you may be just short-circuiting yourself. But if you can't take a year commitment, take a month commitment so that you see, wow, you can actually do it and that God really greatly blesses it. So let us consider these things so that we might be of those virgins that are wide awake, dressed and ready and sweet-smelling and fragrant when Jesus, the great bridegroom, splits the skies. Let us be of that happy company. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you because we do want to be that wakeful bride. We do want to be without spot or wrinkle. We don't want to be asleep in the world. We want to be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. Lord, we confess to you all of our worldliness, all of our distractions, all of our compromise. Please forgive us. Lord, we want to have our first love back. We want to have an expectancy and a readiness to meet you. Please help us to put the world behind us, to seek after the things which are totally imperishable. Lord, we want to be ready to meet you. Please clothe us in your robes of righteousness. We take this challenge, O Lord, to be separated unto you. May this message burn in our hearts and may it accomplish real revival, lasting change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of all those around us as they see us abiding in the vine. May you bless this message to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.